Curay is the founder and CEO of Be the Change HR. They are providing outsourced human resources, support, and services to small and medium-sized businesses. She is an Ironman triathlete. She climbs on scary stuff. She is back on the podcast. Welcome back, Leilani.
Thank you for having me back again. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Personal or work? You're right. I do climb scary stuff. I find it exhilarating. So I am an ice climber, really am a mountaineer and an alpine climber. I started hiking turned into backpacking, that turned into, I can only walk up mountains and I can only do it in favorable weather. So naturally I went to ice climbing and started doing that. In fact, I'm a way better ice climber than I am a rock climber. And then Ironman. So I will be completing my second Ironman 70 in a couple weeks. I'm super excited. I just had my longest training block on Sunday, 4 hours straight. And at the very end, I was like, I can keep doing this. So I know I'm ready to go. And then professionally, I have this amazing social impact human resources consulting firm. We've got clients all across the US. We help small and mid-market businesses with their HR. Anything from I need a handbook all the way to like, give us all of your HR, we'll handle it for you. And what I'm most proud of at Be the Change HR is the social impact piece. We dedicate 1% of our top line revenue to a job readiness program where we provide classes and one-on-one coaching for sex trafficking survivors. And how we do that is we've teamed with several nonprofits across the United States to deliver these classes and this coaching. It's why I started Be the Change HR, and it's why I'm always stoked to lead and drive this business.
I appreciate that. So you train for 4 straight hours, but that's just a drop in the bucket when it comes to a full triathlon, isn't it?
It is. So it's training, right? You got to train for it. People will tell me like, I just did a 5K. That's nothing. I'm like, a 5K is a big deal. To do anything for 30 minutes straight is a big deal.
For sure.
So all training in is just stacking something like that, you know, times a multiple over, you know, depending on your fitness level, 3 to 6 months to prepare the body to be able to do that all in one go. And I know when I do my training blocks and I feel that strong, I'm ready. I've done the work. I forget the phrase. I keep saying it wrong. The horses left the barn or the horses are in the barn. I've done the work. Whatever that phrase is, I've done the work.
It is out of the barn. I think.
There you go.
The horse is out of the barn for sure. Awesome. Well, good luck if I don't talk with you before. So I think that's awesome. All right. So are there parallels to, I'm always looking for some kind of a story or a spin or a narrative. Are there parallels to climbing a sheet of ice and human resources?
I mean, yeah, anything in life, it's an endurance sport, right? And so we always, you know, you think about whether it's you're doing something in HR, let's use an easy example. You need a handbook, right? So that's a huge task. It's got like 40 policies in it. It's specific to your industry and your state. And if you think about tackling it all in one, like the objective, getting to the top of the summit, and you think about, I got to do 4 pitches. So for you non-climbers, a pitch is one length of a rope. And then you do the one length, you get to that level, and then you do the next length and so you can get up the mountain. That's what a pitch is. So you don't think about like, oh my gosh, it's going to take us 6 hours to get to the top and, you know, and all of the energy that goes into it. You just think of it in parts. And that's really what like ice climbing is. It's really what any endurance sport is this one like objective and step at a time to get to the whole piece, you know, again, another horse reference, like how do you eat a horse? Like one bite at a time. So it's something like that. And I think of that in so many different ways and so many aspects of my life about endurance sport and what it takes in those moments. Sometimes it's super fun and you look around and the view is gorgeous and you think, no, like it's so rare to be hanging off the sheet of ice and on a mountain and be like, who gets to see these amazing views? And it feels so good. And other times there's something in ice climbing called the screaming barfies. And what that is because your hands are over your head in cold conditions and you lose the circulation in your hands, when you drop your hands for them to rest, the blood will rush back. And because they're so cold, it hurts so bad that you want to scream and throw up. So Grieving Barbies. And sometimes, you know, your journey is like that too, where it is painful and difficult. And, you know, and then there's the endurance piece of it. If it's like one step at a time, if you're hanging, again, you're on a wall and you're gassed out and you're like, how am I even going to get there? But there's no way up, but no way to go, but up. You learn to sort of enjoy being in pain for those periods of time to get the top.
Screaming Barfies. That's got to be one of the best terms ever. Top 10 term, screaming barfies. I love everything about that. I don't think I'd like to have the screaming barfies, but I like to talk about it or hear somebody else tell me about it. So I imagine there's some kind of a like stages or continuum for an organization when we need human resources. And so I start the organization and things are a mess or they're going along, but I need foundational things, and then we're moving along. And then at the other end is potentially I've got this amazing wellness program that's fully integrated across the whole company.
Mm-hmm. And those stages, right? So in HR, I feel like there should be ice climbing references before you start climbing. Before you start climbing, you need your safety gear, right? So and any climber, any you're always like, you know, helmet, you know, your harness, you tying in properly. You know, where are your tools? Like if you're the lead climber, like, do you have your safety, your fall safety equipment all ready to go? And so much more. And in human resources, you need that level of support from day one. Really, I would encourage you about 3 months before you do your first hire, whether you do the research yourself, you hire an attorney, or you get a consulting firm to do it for you. You need a strong foundation of that, like, regulatory stuff, right? The stuff that will catch you if you fall. Things like a handbook, understanding the paperwork, understanding the leave laws in your state, all that foundational stuff should be set up from, you know, the compliance piece of your recruiting process, what you can say, what you can't ask, what you can't, offer letters, like all of that stuff needs to be set into play. And then you can wait. You don't need HR after that. You got the foundation set up. And then when you get, there's always like a pain point level. Maybe you're the owner and you're like handling all this yourself. And you think, okay, where is my time best spent? Should I be doing this or should someone else? And that's having whether someone in-house part-time or outsourcing it to have someone work with your staff and who has that HR knowledge for the regulatory stuff. But also in comes the strategy. And that is, said simply, how am I going to create an amazing employee experience for the people who are here so they're happy, so they're healthy, and at the end of the day, so they're productive for you and so they stay? And so that's part where, okay, you got to think, is this my talent or do I bring in, you know, a consultant to handle this for me until you graduate to the phase, I'll give you some numbers in a second, of where you bring it in-house. And that's anything in your business as you grow it. And so HR people, we like to hear, it's not, this is like, we'd like to hear one HR professional, true HR professional for every 50. But once you get to 100, you need it. You need that HR professional for every 100 employees to help handle all the compliance stuff, all the strategy stuff, and really to have somewhere for your employees to go.
Okay, I love it. So where do people typically turn for that? Is this, they ask their payroll provider for it? And is that a good idea?
So many different ways. Yes, one could be your payroll provider could have an ASO model that will have some type of HR attachment to it. Some people go straight to a PEO, a professional employee organization, and that looks a little bit different. Make sure you understand what that means, but that can be a bundle of not only having HR support, but health insurance and workers' comp bundled in. Of course, they're leasing your employees back to you. That's the PEO model. You could have someone do it in-house as part of maybe a hat that they wear. You could have attorney support, or you can have a consultant come in. So all of these are options that you really want to evaluate what's best for your organization. I will say this, they're in an ASO and some PEO models, not all. I always tell people who are evaluating, you realize that someone still has to push the buttons in order for it to work. So that's whether it's reaching out to the, you know, contact that you have at either of those organizations to handle the human resources or prompting them for what you need. If you want more proactive support, you need to bring someone in-house, whether an employee or a consultant that will like make sure you know, oh, there's a new law coming up on July 1st that raises the salary basis test in the United States. That is actually happening. Follow me on the socials. I have a whole video series coming out about it. But that's important. You need someone proactive so that you don't turn around and be like, I didn't know that, because that's never, unfortunately, that's not an excuse.
Ignorance is not an excuse.
No.
Bummer.
No, I wish.
Such a bummer. Okay. So what are, for lack of a better term, projects, challenges that are your favorites to work on?
Ooh, I've sort of hinted at it in many different ways. And that is a great organization who cares about their employees. I'll give you a headcount, 50 or under. And they've made it so far for years without like any formal HR because they've been so healthy in that way. But all of a sudden they're like, I just don't know what I don't know. And I want to make sure that we are dotting our I's and crossing our T's. And so we have a proprietary tool. It's an HR program review, deep dive assessment to let someone know, here's where you're at. But we don't do it in a way where it's like, look at all the terrible things that are going on. We actually have a weighted component just as equally important as telling them what's going right and what they're doing well. And so each bucket of HR from pre-hire to post-term comes in what's going well, what you've done well, things to think about for the future. And then, of course, regulatory compliance issues or anything aligning with the business's goals that need to be thought about right now. And so that's one of my favorites, to get someone like, so everything's so visible. You're like, I know what I need to work on. Then we'd build an action plan for them off of that, where they want to work with us. They want to do it themselves. They have a roadmap of what's next.
I think that's great. Yeah. In terms of creating, how do you feel about the word culture?
I mean, it exists regardless. So you want to ignore it or not, it's there in your organization.
Yeah. And the stereotype or the meme on the internet is here's your culture. And it's a big table and a boardroom like full of pizza boxes, right?
Yeah.
It's like we're doing culture right. When you hear culture right, talking about that less than 50 organization where people are engaged, is it easy to tell when a company has their culture right?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be markers of that and metrics, even if they're getting it right. Retention is a big one, or turnover, however you want to look at it. Are you keeping your employees? How long are they staying? And that can tell you a lot of what's going on. Another one that is obvious is any type of claims that come through an organization, whether it's wage and hour or harassment, discrimination. Those are big ones. And you can tell that. But I get it. The idea of rewarding people with pizza. By the way, one of our inside jokes here at Be the Change HR is, does pineapple belong on pizza or not? Just always makes me laugh. It's even in our deck when we present to people. But it's not enough to give someone some great break room food and give them a pizza party every once in a while. You really get to, you need to know, first of all, what kind of culture you want to create and where you're lacking there. And then how do you do that in a meaningful way that your employees will feel appreciated and, dare I say, loved by you? And then I think after that, everything falls in line, but it's not as easy as me just saying that, right? It's a lot in order to do that for your workforce.
Do those seem like they might be obvious or maybe not at all? Do most people know what kind of culture they want? And do most people, do they love and appreciate their employees?
I always go back to the person and the leader. Right. And what is their lens look like? What did their life look like, and where are they at right now? Because that's the most important piece. The person at the top is going to have the view of who is their workforce and what does it mean to them as a human being? And if you're the kind of person that's like, you know what, I pay you and you need to do that work. Okay. But you're going to have a certain type of culture with that. And you really need to be able to see around what that means. Or maybe it's way the other way and you're like so generous, you know, you're giving away the company instead and overpaying people and giving too much and realizing, you know, is that a piece of you too? And so, yes, culture is really important, but I think even more important than that is us as leaders understanding ourselves and how we view the world and our workforce. That's what's going to ultimately determine. And then if we need to make any changes, also go to therapy.
Also good at therapy. I think that's right.
Yeah.
What do you think about, I work in personal finance, more appropriately, I do 401k plans for companies, and the term financial wellness has been in the ether now really seriously for probably 5 years or so. This is financial literacy, now it's financial wellness. And I look around and I see this wellness term everywhere. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, we do events together, my team and I, and for our wellness event, we brought in a financial therapist and we did some exercises around our thoughts and feelings and childhood memories of money and how that might shape, you know, how we view it now. So I think it's important. I mean, obviously we need money, right? It feels so many different things. We need to plan for it, but I also think it's important to understand your emotions around it and why we have the habits that we do in how we handle our money. And so I think it's important. And I think if this stuff isn't taught in school, I mean, I wish it was, maybe balancing a checkbook, but that was probably about it. We don't even do that anymore. So, right. And so I think it's important to tack this on besides being like, got to save for retirement, because you do. You got to save for retirement. If you can, as an employer, or some places you have to. If you don't, then the state will take over. You need these types of retirement plans. And then for owners, if you don't, I mean, I'm sure they know from you, George Wood, if you don't, there are benefits for an owner themselves with these types of plans and saving for retirement. But I also like the component of the emotional aspect behind it and exploring that with your employees in a safe space.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And then just wellness in general, do companies feel good about that? Like, do they feel like, and it's probably going to be kind of an obvious thing that each company is going to be different, but should we be providing information on diet and exercise and financial stuff and just all of it?
Yeah, well, talking about a good culture, we talk about how we treat our employees. We're really looking at the whole person. Right. Does that mean that you need to give everyone a life coach? No, that doesn't mean that you need to do that with everyone. But as employers, I think at the very minimum, providing the resources to be able to do that, something you can do that's really inexpensive is an employee assistance program. It tacks on to health insurance. It generally will have a financial wellness component, some type of smoking cessation, something to have to do with health. Sometimes they will offer free counseling. Maybe you get 3 sessions or 12 sessions or something like that. But that's something you can do for your people. And if you have a safe enough environment for your employees, I would suggest bringing in practitioners who can talk about, let's say, mindfulness, not like meditation, like the head, you know, we don't have to get like, but mindfulness meditation and breathing exercises, how to stay calm, or the financial wellness I was talking about, or those types of things with your team can really bring everyone together. And I think it could be a very beautiful thing in supporting the whole person in the workplace.
Yeah. Big opportunity. Mm-hmm. One more question. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
My name is Leilani. My family is from Maui, and I'm a huge fan of pineapple on pizza. My team is divided 50-50, very passionate about this.
People I bet.
Say, oh, it does not. But I like the salty and the sweet. And I even here in New York City, now that I live here, I still will get it, even if I get glares.
Well, there it is. All right. Well, Leilani, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, bethechangehr.com. And then if you scroll to the very bottom, you can sign up for our newsletter and you can see us on all socials. Please follow us. At the very least, find me on LinkedIn. Connect with me. I'd love to see you.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Leilani your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to BeTheChangeHR.com. Check out the great resources that Leilani's been talking about. And then follow her on LinkedIn and keep tabs on all that she is doing, both the world of human resources and on the face of a frozen mountain, hopefully avoiding the screaming barfies and eating pineapple on pizza or whatever. Thanks again, Leilani.
Thank you for having me.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.